Andy Gibbs, I just ask you, Lord God, to bless him, Lord God, this morning. Anoint his tongue, Lord. Allow him to speak what you want him to speak, Lord God, and let his words mean much more to us than you might imagine, Lord. We just ask you, God, to yes, be with him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, because you're recording me. Fine. Okay, so I'm now going to juggle through a few different things, but that's okay. I'll just hold it. It's fine. Well, hello. Happy Easter. Wow, you sound overjoyed. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to... I bring greetings from Urbana Baptist Church to say it's lovely just to be up here with you. It feels like a very long time since I was last here. But you know what? It's great. And it's great to see some familiar faces, some friends from years ago and from now. I want to start with, funny enough, it being Easter Sunday, I'd like to start in the Gospel. And I'd like to start in the Gospel of John. And I'm just going to read briefly from the beginning of chapter 18. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas the betrayer knew this place because Jesus had gone there many times with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a battalion of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him. Stepping forward to meet them, he asked, "Who are you looking for?" And that's the question I really want to start today with. It's Easter Sunday morning. Who are you looking for? Who is it that you've come to church to find today? Well, you know, it's Sunday morning. It's kind of traditional at the beginning of Easter, you know, high days and holy days. Come to church. It's the kind of thing that good folk do. But who are you looking for? Who is it that you're trying to find?
Inner peace.
Inner peace, yeah. Well, I'm going to just go through a few different characters, a few different aspects of Jesus through this time, from him entering Jerusalem to his death on the cross. And I just want to see if you resonate with any of these, because as I read the passage, as I went through the Gospel of John time and time and time again, you know, I had great fun down in Cardiff Bay yesterday morning, sitting with a cup of coffee, just listening to the Gospel of John on my phone. Yeah, I don't normally carry a Bible as a book now. I usually carry it as a phone because I've got all my different bits and pieces on there. But just listening, you know, you see so many different bits of Jesus. I wonder today, are you looking for a great leader? Are you looking for a great leader? The next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey, rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy. Yeah, I think sometimes we come to church because we're looking for direction. We're looking for a way to go. And you know, I don't know if any of you in this room feel like you lack that direction. You just don't know where you're headed. You don't know where it is you're trying to go with life, trying to go with your relationships. You're trying to find something to do. I don't know if you resonate with that at all. I know I certainly do. There are times when I look at my life and I'm sitting going, what am I doing? Where am I going? What is my purpose in life? And on that day when Jesus entered Jerusalem, there were lots of people who came with great expectation. Here was the new King of Israel. Here was the one who's going to give them all direction. Sadly, the ones who were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King of David," couple of days later were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." You would have seen that as you saw Stuart and others here wandering around Bryn Mawr. I've seen the photographs on Facebook. I am very disappointed, Stuart, just for the record, that the beard has gone. I was
straight away. Within 5 minutes of being in the house, it had gone.
Yeah, well, I kind of guess it might have been, but I was really hoping because I could have said, "Look, behold, Jesus, who's representative."
No. He's refreshed as well.
Yeah, refreshed.
Younger.
Yeah, well, I am liking the hair colour. It looks good. At least you have hair, unlike me. But yeah, are you looking for a great leader? Or maybe you're looking for a great teacher. Maybe you've come to church to hear some great wisdom, and for that I already apologise. But it said, later the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. His reply completely amazed them. Joe, maybe you've come to church this morning because you've got questions that you want answers to, because you've got struggles. You know, doubt is a normal part of living. I don't think there's anybody in this room who's placed their faith in Jesus who would say they have never doubted, they have never struggled. I know when I came to faith, which would be a year or two ago, I can remember I was really wrestling. I was 17. I'd almost died on holiday. They reckon they got me into the hospital in Ibiza with about 5 minutes before my heart stopped. So I spent 7 days in intensive care, sort of annoying the nurses. There was me, and there was a guy who had drowned. They kind of resuscitated him. And we were the only two English speakers on the intensive care. So we used to play the game of who can get your heart monitor to go off by making a heart race. And then the nurses would come in and shout at you in Spanish. And that all went. But I can remember that experience as a young man really started me questioning, you know, is this all there is? What's life all about? Why suffering? Why did this happen to me? What had I done to deserve this? Or maybe you've just come up with a question, you just need some wisdom for the day. You just need some wisdom to know what to do in life. How do you handle this situation? How do you deal with this relationship or these people? So you might be looking for a leader, you might be looking for a great teacher. You may be looking for somebody who can clean you up. There's that wonderful story that Jesus was reclining at the table and he got up and he wrapped himself. So he took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist and washed the feet of the disciples. And you've got that wonderful interplay then with Simon Peter. I love Simon Peter. I think it's really great because he says all the things that actually everybody else is thinking but is too afraid to say. Yeah, so, well, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. Can you imagine that? You've got Jesus sat at your feet with a robe and a bowl to wash your feet. And he's there, no, full body bath, please. At the table. No, exactly. Nothing held back. I want the works. It's a bit like driving up to the car wash sometimes. You know, you've got the sort of like £1.50, £2 quick whiz through, or you've got the £10. It's like saying, oh, I'm here for the £2 wash, but I want everything. I want it all. Well, maybe that's what you're struggling with. Maybe you know that there is dirt in your life, that there is the grot that seems to just stick to us, and you want it cleaned, but you can't seem to break free. There's a conference coming on in Cardiff to do with porn scars, it's called. And it's got a statement on the front that says 53% of Christian men use pornography. 47% of families say that they're affected by it. Yeah, there's stuff for men and for women that just seem to trap us, that we can't break free. And maybe that's why you've come to church this morning. Or maybe it's you're looking for a miracle. I've had the pleasure of praying with a few people in Rubina over the last few weeks, and we've seen a few people healed in the last few weeks. And we're not claiming getting out of wheelchairs. We're claiming the curing of earache and the relief of pain from somebody's feet. But, you know, hallelujah, God's moving. You know, maybe we're looking for a miracle. When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they explained, Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. And it says in Luke, and one of them struck at the high priest's slave. I think it says in John, and Peter, my favorite disciple, pulled out his sword, struck the ear off the priest's slave. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. So maybe you're looking for a miracle today. Maybe you are struggling with illness and you need healing. You've come here, either emotional, physical. You're here to look for somebody who can do that for you. Or maybe you're looking for somebody to blame. You know, I love reading the Psalms. I reckon about 50% of the Psalms is a psalmist shouting at God because he's just at his wit's end. it always turns back into praise at the end. But yeah, this reads from here from Mark. The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him. Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. Maybe you've come here today because you want somebody to blame. Maybe you come here because you're angry with God. You're looking at your life and thinking, why me? What is it that I have done? What is it in my life that causes you to persecute me so much? Maybe you think you've been treated unfairly. There's nobody listening. Maybe you're just fed up with what you've got in life. You think you should have more. And you think God, as it says in Bruce Almighty, is a mean kid with a magnifying glass. And you're the ant on the anthill. And he's just there focusing the beams onto you to make you squirm and shrivel up. Maybe you're not looking for any of those things. Maybe you're looking for holiness. You're looking for somebody to think, wow, there's an example, there's a role model. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. Maybe that's what's drawn you to church this morning. You're looking for holiness. You're looking for something that says, this is the truth. This is real. This is what I'm after. I want somebody who's going to come in and turn everything upside down and make it right. Maybe you're just a bit disillusioned and you want something for your life that is worthy of the passions that you have. Something that will engage you. Or maybe you're just looking for forgiveness. But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "To tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." The hope of everyone, nothing needed other than faith. The thief on the cross couldn't get baptized. He couldn't go on a pilgrimage. He couldn't go and do good things. He couldn't repay everything that he'd done. All he had was faith. And Jesus said, "That is all that's needed." Amen. Perhaps you need to know that forgiveness. You need to know that freedom. You need to know that truth. I've just spent a few minutes going through about who are you looking for. I think the reality is that none of those are who's, they're all what's. What are you looking for? You see, I don't want you to find this Easter morning the what of Christianity. I want you to find the who of Christianity. You see, I don't want to stand in front of you and say, "Do you know what? At about the turn of the first millennium, about 33 AD, there was this really great guy. He was really wise and he did some fabulous things. He said some awesome things. We've got some records that kind of said he did some good things, but do you know what? He's dead. He's a really good guy. You know, it would have been lovely to meet him. It would be fantastic, but do you know what? He caused a bit of trouble in first century Palestine, and the Romans didn't like him, but do you know, that's all it is. And we've got some nice stories that we hand down from father to son and from mother to daughter. You know, it just kind of gives you a warm, fuzzy glow and makes you feel that, do you know what, you can cope with life." You see, Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, said this, "But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are you, some of you, saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless." You see, today, this day, is the day that gives us hope. Today, this day is the day that means that our faith has meaning, that our hope has validity. There's nothing. You see, I don't proclaim a Christ who died and everybody got sad, and that was it. I proclaim Christ, who was born of a virgin, living a sinless life, dying on a cross, bearing the sin that he didn't deserve, raised from the dead, now in heaven, Christ the Lord, who will return again, giving us eternal life, which we don't deserve and in which we hope. It's because Christ raised from the dead that we have hope. It's because of Easter Sunday morning, we can say, my Redeemer lives. My God is alive in heaven now, and that you can meet him. You don't need to rely on the what of the gospel. You need to rely on the who of the gospel. Who you can meet. I just want to draw your attention just to this end part of John. It was read to us earlier. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they've taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they've put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. See, Jesus met Mary in the garden that morning. Mary had seen Jesus' body taken down from the cross and put into a tomb, and a large stone rolled across the mouth of that tomb. She knew, she took careful note, because she knew that his body couldn't be prepared properly for burial. So she and others went and prepared herbs and spices to embalm him the first day they could, because they were good Jewish women. When the Sabbath came in, they stopped and they rested. She took careful note of where Jesus was placed, and she went back there, and she found an empty tomb. And she saw two angels who spoke to her, and she didn't freak out. From my readings of the Bible, when you see angels, they're not these nice kind of white fluffy creatures with wings that kind of go on the top of Christmas trees. If you notice, almost every time an angel is involved, the first words are, don't be afraid. That's not because they're nice white. You know, if you bumped into an angel walking around Bryn Mawr and they had kind of a dress and a little halo sticking up on wings, you kind of laugh. You wouldn't go, oh, I'm scared. Whereas with angels, it's always, don't be afraid. Sorry? Yeah, exactly. I live quite close to a hospital which helps people with mental health problems, and you'd sit there and go, oh, yeah, okay, the wards have been opened again. Yeah, and it, yeah, exactly. But no, it's don't be afraid. But she doesn't freak out. She tells them where she's looking, and then she becomes aware of somebody stood behind her. There's just three little things I want us to notice. The first question that Jesus asks her, dear woman, why are you crying? See, Jesus' first response was compassion. Why are you crying? What is it that's upset you? See, the Jesus that I know is a Jesus who cares, who wants to know about everything that goes on in my life. The second question is, who are you looking for? Mary had gone into that garden to try and find a dead body so that she could prepare it properly for burial. Problem is, the body wasn't there. Who are you looking for? Mary still doesn't quite get it. She thinks it's a gardener. And turns around and says, sir, if you've taken the body, why a gardener would take a body out of a tomb? I haven't quite worked that one out. It must be said. It's not kind of the usual thing. But where have you taken him? If you tell me where you put him, I'll go and fetch him. The third thing is, Jesus calls her by name. He just says, Mary. And she suddenly goes, Rabboni, teacher. You see, Jesus cares. He wants you to look for him. And when you do, he will call you by name. and there is an instant of recognition. Do you know what? You may have read the Bible for, well, you may have read the Bible through many times. You might think, do you know what? Hans Christian Andersen had nothing on this. It's a fantastic story put together of about 2,500 years by, well, at least 66 different writers, but actually a great number more than that. It's been transmitted by mouth initially. If you look at the first five books of the Bible, it talks about creation. Moses probably wrote it, so Adam would have had to have told his sons, who would have had to tell his sons, and so on. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes and calls you, you read this book, and suddenly you start to see the history in it. You start to see his story threaded through it. And on this Easter Sunday morning, I believe Jesus says the same to you as he said to me, and said to Stuart, to Sarah, and to Phil, and to Dave, and to others. Who are you looking for? I'm looking for Jesus. And then he'll say, Andy, Stuart, Sarah, Philippa. And then, you see, Jesus poses this question to us today. Who are you looking for? And it's important that we know about this resurrection, because that is the only reason we have hope. I did a very quick survey of the Gospels, just as I'm bringing things to a close. Four Gospels, written by four different writers, based on different sources, in part. So, Jesus lived for around 33 years. He began his public ministry at 30 and died at 33. John's Gospel is 21 chapters long, 9 of which cover the last 12 days of Jesus' life. Matthew is 28 chapters long, 9 of which cover the last 4 days. Mark is 16 chapters, 5 of which cover the last 4 days. Luke is 24 chapters, 5 of which cover the last 4 days. You see, there is a large lump that looks at the last days of Jesus. And if it's important for the Gospel writers, it's important for us. You see this, the Gospel writers really wanted to record history, but not so that it was a historical textbook. They wanted to record history so that you could know the truth of Jesus, you could know the truth of his life, and it's a truth that would set you free. They wanted you to know that Jesus was, is, and will continue to be as alive, in fact more alive, than you and me. He lives eternally. He sits at the right hand of Father God in heaven, prays on our behalf. He intercedes for us. He cares for us. And he's the only one who can save us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I had very interesting discussions sometimes with people who follow other faiths and say, it doesn't matter what religion you believe in. It doesn't matter what religion you follow. I said, fantastic. If it doesn't matter, come follow Christ. Because if it doesn't matter, then you may as well follow the Savior that I know who says it does matter. Mm-hmm. Friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Easter. Yes. I thank you for this day when we remember not only Jesus crucified on the cross, crying out, it is finished, but we also remember an empty tomb. We also remember a risen Savior. We also remember that he appeared to the women in the garden, and then to the disciples, and then to more than 500 in a locked room. Jesus, thank you that you conquered death. Thank you that you conquered sin, that you are the only one who has the power to set us free. Yes, Lord. Heavenly Father, my heart's cry for us this day is that we are set free in Christ, that our hearts are released, that sin's bind on us is broken, that we put our faith fully in him and trust him in all things. Father, we believe, help us in our unbelief. We know that we will struggle, but we know you are gracious and kind. We know that we'll get it wrong, but we know that you are merciful and swift to forgive. Help us, Father, to honor you, to live for you, and to find you in everything we do, to the glory of Christ and for the extension of his kingdom. Amen. Amen.